Good morning. How's everybody this morning? You know, it works really good if I ask a question and you answer. That really helps, okay? All right, so how's everybody today?
Good.
So we do have the air on, but now that the preacher's talking, we may have to turn it down a little bit more so it gets a little cooler in here. But I'm sure it'll be good. Well, if you are a guest with us this morning, thank you for being here. And we are so grateful for the fact that you have chosen to be with us today. And we hope that our service will be a blessing to you. And hopefully when you came in, you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you'll just take a moment and fill that out and drop it in the offering plate as it comes by, or just leave it on the information table out in the foyer, that would be such a big help to us. And hopefully everybody received a bulletin. So if you have a bulletin, take it out. And let's kind of go over some of the information that's in there. Not a whole lot going on this week, but next Sunday after our morning service is our church family dinner, and it is a pasta theme. So you have details there in the bulletin as to what you can bring to be able to help us with the church family dinner. So if you didn't grab a bulletin, that's why it's important for you to make sure you have one so that you have the instructions for next week's family dinner. We love family dinner. And if you are a guest with us this morning and you want to come back and join us next week for family dinner, that would be great. We would love to have you be able to do that. Also in the bulletin, you will see that there's an announcement regarding Shiloh Bible Camp. They are in need of kitchen volunteers for the next 3 weeks. So if you can help for all 3 weeks, if you can help for 1 week, if you can help for 1 or 2 days, they can use you. So there's information there on who to call and what numbers to be able to contact him at. And so if that's something that you would like to do, you have the time to be able to do that, and you'd like to serve God in his mission at Camp Shiloh, that would be really wonderful. So think about it, pray about it, and then if God directs you to be able to do that, that would be great. Well, we have a birthday today, and that person with the birthday is here. So Noah, come on up. So this is Noah Lockie, if you don't know, and he's how old? 16. Okay, all right. Oh, to be 16 again. If I could be 16 again and know what I know now, that would be great. Okay? I don't want to have to learn it all over again. You got a ways to go, buddy. Okay. All right. Let's sing Happy Birthday to Noah.
Happy birthday to
embarrass you? I said, do I embarrass you? He didn't give me an answer, so I don't know. All right. Okay. Are you ready to worship?
Yes.
Are you ready to praise?
Yes.
Are you ready to learn about God?
Yes.
All right. Let's go, worship
team. Would you all stand with me if you can? We're going to sing a bunch of songs, and we're just going to keep on going. So when you feel right to sit down, go ahead. If you want to clap, if you want to run the aisles, go ahead. Jesus is worth all the praise we have to give. Amen?
Amen.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may throw my sins away. Wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more, be saved to sin no more, be saved to sin no more, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Ere since by faith I saw that stream, thy flowing wounds supply. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die.
Thank you, Jesus, for the redeeming blood that you shed for us.
And I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. 'Cause Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. 'Cause Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Yes, sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raise this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raise this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raise this life up from the dead. paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. Yes, he washed it white as snow.
Thank you, Jesus, for how much you love us. So much that you would come and die on our behalf. Praise you, Lord. Thank you. God, we give you all our worship today, all that we have to give, because you're worthy.
He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. Jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. And we are his portion and he is our prize. We come to redemption by the grace in his eyes. With grace is an ocean we're all sinking. So heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way that he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. He loves us so. Come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the
Father, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. We sang a lot about Jesus and how much you and he love us, what he did at the cross for us. Thank you. Lord, we say thank you today. We love you. We love you back. Lord, as we spend time in the Word today, teach us. As we open up all that we are to you, Lord, teach us. Thank you, Lord, for making us alive again. Amen.
I was dead in my transgressions, wandering in sin. I went searching for redemption down a road that had no end. I was walking through the fire. I was living on the run with my flesh lost in desire. I was drowning in the flood, but God, rich in mercy, you came to save me. Now I'm alive. But God, strong and mighty, you reached out for me so I could rise. Now I'm alive. I am far from being perfect. There are days that I regret. On this battlefield I struggle with the lies that I have lived. I have fallen short of glory. I can't make it on my own. If you kept record of my past, I'd be sinking like a stone. But God, rich in mercy, you came to save me. Now I'm alive. But God, strong and mighty, you reached out for me so I could rise. I'm breathing in, I'm breathing out. I was in the grave, but God, you called me out. I'm breathing in, I'm breathing out. I was in the grave, but God, you called me out. But God, rich in mercy, you came to save me. Now I'm alive. But God, strong and mighty, you reached out for me so I could rise. Now I'm alive. Now I'm alive.
Gotta love those words, but God. So how many of you this week faced a trial? How many of you faced something tough? Something in your life didn't go the way that you had hoped that it did, that you wanted it to do, that you wanted it to be, but God. But God stepped in and changed it. But God stepped in and helped you through it. But God was there all of the time, working behind the scenes to be able to make it not your will, but his will. Not your purpose and plans, but his purpose and plans. But God. And I love those words. But God. Well, you know what? Turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 21. And we're gonna look at several verses this morning, continuing on in our study of the book of Acts. And I found a new national church survey that is filled with good news from the pews. And basically the survey says this: 9 in 10 evangelicals don't think sermons are too long. Yes! Those are my kind of people. All right. Even though I don't preach very long. But if I did, those would be my kind of people. You're my kind of people, because this survey confirms what I know to be true about our Lake Hazel Bible Church family. They like expository preaching, no matter how long or how short the sermons may be. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to take a look at Acts chapter 21, and we're going to see some expository preaching through some of these verses, especially verses 1 through 26. So what a joy it is to continue in our focus from the book of Acts on being involved in God's mission with God's message. Now, we're going to probably pick up the pace a little bit as we see Paul's final journey to Jerusalem and then his journey to Rome. But don't think that means that this series is going to be over anytime soon, okay? I think I looked it up on the schedule, and with everything else on the calendar, we may finish up sometime in October. But I'm not making any promises, okay? All right? Because there's this person called the Holy Spirit who kind of has a whole lot more to say about it than I do. So we're just going to continue to go as we believe the Holy Spirit is leading us. But I think that one of the things that we've learned in our study of the books of Acts this far is that Acts has no rival, as it takes place in so many different lands, helps us to understand the Holy Spirit, and celebrates the effectiveness of the early church. The book of Acts helps us to know how to act as we do God's mission by making disciples of those who come to believe in Jesus as Savior, and all of this for the glory of God. And the book of Acts shows how important it is for us to, no matter what, keep on pressing on for God. So we're going to look this morning at several ways to press on for God. Here's the first way. Do what God wants you to do, even if it's difficult. And in keeping with the context, we are joining Paul on his third missionary journey. Paul had just had a tearful goodbye with the Ephesian elders and is continuing on to Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 21 and verse 1, hopefully you found Acts chapter 21 in your Bible. Look at verse 1. It gives us some of the specifics. And when we had parted from them, from the Ephesian elders, when we had parted from them and set sail, we came by a straight course to Cos, and the next day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. Now the phrase, when we had parted from them, because this was such an emotional goodbye for Paul and these leaders in the church at Ephesus, this phrase, when we had parted from them, can be translated, when we had torn ourselves away from them. Have you ever had that experience? Have you ever had the blessing of being able to know somebody so intimately that when you had to say goodbye because you were remaining and they were leaving, how it was, or you were leaving and they were remaining, how emotional that was? That was the picture that was going on at the end of chapter 20. And then the next part of the journey is described in verses 2 through 4. And having found a ship crossing to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. When we had come in sight of Cyprus, leaving it on the left, we sailed to Syria and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unload its cargo. And having sought out the disciples, we stayed there for 7 days. And through the Spirit, they were telling Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. So after taking a large vessel for a longer voyage, they finally arrived at Tyre, which is on the coast of Israel. And notice how important it was for Paul to gather with God's people. And even though he didn't have much time, he made it a priority to spend time with fellow believers. And this word sought is in the emphatic in the Greek, and it means to find by diligently seeking. It's kind of the same idea that's mentioned in Luke chapter 2 and verse 16 when it says the shepherds went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and found the baby lying in a manger. So Paul goes out of his way and gives of his time so that he could gather with God's people. Now, when I think about that, there are three things for us to consider here. Number one, if you unplug from church, there's a risk that you'll begin to unravel. God doesn't want us to be distant from a church family. He wants us to be a part of that church family. And if you are not able to gather in person, stay connected to God's word until you can gather again with God's people. Don't take God's word and the study of God's word and the meditating of God's word and the reading of God's word. Don't take and set that on a shelf when it becomes a little bit difficult for you to be able to gather together with people in God's church. And then the danger of missing church is that soon you won't miss it. I can name you people that have come to Lake Hazel Bible Church in the past that have wandered away from church. And I know that for a fact they're not going anywhere now. They don't miss it. They just don't miss it. I don't understand that, because when I'm away from you, I miss being with you. It's not the same as being with you every Sunday morning. Now, I know that some of you were in the process of searching for a church, and some of you might be here this morning, and you're in the process of looking for a church, and you long to hear God's word, and you long to gather with God's people so that you could grow towards spiritual maturity. And I'm thankful that you found LHBC. And I know that for some of you, Lake Hazel Bible Church is not as close to where you live as some other churches might be. So that means you probably drive past several churches to be able to make it here. You know, a former missionary named Paul Washer once said, "Don't look for the nearest church to your house. Find the church closest to the Bible." I like that. Don't you? Find the church closest to the Bible. And as this culture continues to cave and this society slides south spiritually, it will become increasingly more difficult for us to live out the truths of God's word, especially if we're not connected to a church family. So church family, let's do what God wants us to do, even if it's difficult. For those of you that are our guests this morning, I include you in that church family as well. So that leads us to the next insight about pressing on. The next insight is this: keep consistent, even when others don't understand. Keep consistent when others don't understand. Look at verses 5 and 6 of Acts chapter 21. "When our days there were ended, we departed and we went on our journey, and they all, with wives and children, accompanied us until we were outside the city. And kneeling down on the bench, we prayed, on the beach, we prayed, and said farewell to one another. Then we went on board the ship, and they returned home." This is a great reminder that we need to take the opportunity to pray whenever and wherever we are. Just this week, I had the opportunity to pray with people on the phone, and I had the opportunity to pray with people in person. And one of the things that I like to do is when somebody comes to me and say, "Pastor, will you pray about this? Pastor, will you pray with me about this?" Instead of just saying, "Sure, I'll pray with you," and let them walk away, I say, "You know what? Let's take a moment and let's pray right now. Let's pray about that very thing right now." In fact, a couple of weeks ago, I was at Riverview on Thursday morning, Riverview Rehab, and a lady said to me that she told me that her son was going to have a reunion with his father, and they have not seen each other for 20 years. They had not been together for 20 years. And she said, "Pastor, I'm excited on one hand, but I'm worried on the other that this is not going to go well." And she said, "Would you pray that this just works out really good?" And so I said, "Sure." And in fact, I said, "You know what? Let's pray about that right now." So right in her room, we took the opportunity to be able to pray for this father and to pray for this son and to pray for this reunion. And there was a grandson that this father had never seen, and he was going to be part of the reunion as well. And so we prayed for this whole situation. So I go there on Thursday. Even though Thursday was a holiday, I still go to Riverview Thursday morning. And I go to this lady's room, and I walk in the room, and she says, "Oh, I thought I missed you." And I said, "No." And she goes, "I've been waiting since Tuesday. I thought I would see you on Tuesday." And I said, "No, I'm only here on Thursdays." And she goes, "Oh, yeah, that's right." She goes, "Well, I've been waiting since Tuesday to be able to tell you how the reunion went." And I said, "And I've been waiting, and I've been continuing to pray. So how did it go?" And she said, "God answered our prayers. It couldn't have been any better. In fact, the father and the son had got some things cleared, and it went very well. And when the son got ready to leave, the father said, I'm gonna keep checking up on you. And so he didn't even get like 15 miles down the road, and he gets a phone call from his father saying, you okay? You sure everything's all right? And then he's been calling every couple days to be able to make sure that his son is doing just fine. Isn't that good? And folks, we can do that. When somebody comes and says, will you pray with me about this? Take the time right then and there to say, yeah, and let's pray right now. Don't let time go by in that. And here and look at verse 7. Verse 7, we see Paul doing what? Being with other believers. Look at verse 7. And when we had finished the voyage from Tyre, we arrived at Ptolemy, and we greeted the brothers and sisters and stayed with them for one day. You know, if you thought that Paul was a hermit, if you thought that Paul just loved to be able to be by himself, that's not Paul. Paul loved to be with people. He loved to be with other believers. He loved to be able to pray with them and to pray for them. He loved being able to share God's word with them. I want to be more like Paul, don't you? I want to be more like that. I love to be with God's people. And then look at verse 8. On the next day we departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. And while Paul was enjoying his time at Philip's house, something unusual, maybe something similar to what might have happened to you sometime this week, there came in an unusual visitor. Look at verses 10 and 11. While we were staying for many days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Wow. Do you get the idea? This prophet came from Judea, found Paul, and said, Paul, listen, when you go to Jerusalem, this is how it's going to be. This is what you're going to face. This is the suffering, this is the affliction that's going to, the persecution that's going to come upon you. And finding boldness by this interesting prophet, many other believers spoke strongly to Paul. Look at verse 12. When we heard this, we and the people there urged Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. These people who cared for Paul were begging him not to go to Jerusalem. Now, as I was preparing for this message, and I was reading several Bible commentaries about this passage, some of the Bible commentators disagree on the meaning of this situation. Some suggest that Paul was in the wrong by continuing to say, I'm going to Jerusalem. But I don't think so. Because go back to Acts chapter 20 and verse 22. And we see that Paul was simply following the leading of God's Spirit. Paul says, I'm going to Jerusalem constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there. And then go to Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23 and look at verse 1. Paul, and looking intently at the council, Paul said, brothers and sisters, I have lived my life before God in all good conscience up to this day. So Paul knew that he was going to Jerusalem based upon what? The instructions of God. Based upon God's leading in his life. He had a purpose. He had a plan for Paul to be in Jerusalem. Now let me caution you about listening to people who say something like, the Holy Spirit told me to tell you. Or, I have a word from God for you. I can't tell you how many times in all of the years of ministry where I've had somebody come to me and say, Pastor, the Holy Spirit is telling me to do this. And when they tell me that, then they always say what they think the Holy Spirit is telling them to do. And 99.9% of the time, it's contrary to what God's word tells us. Yeah, oh. Right? They're just using God's Holy Spirit to justify the actions that they think is best for them, not what it is that they know God says is what's best for them. Because God tells us over and over in his word what he expects of us, what his expectations of us is. And why? Because he knows better than we do what's best for us. And so we need to be very, very careful when we tell somebody that the Holy Spirit told me to do this, or the Holy Spirit told me to give you this message. And one of the reasons why it's so important for us to be very, very careful is because there's some strange stuff out there in Christian circles. In fact, there was a popular pastor from the Midwest who spit into his hand during a church service and then smeared it on a church member's face as the pastor declared that this is crazy faith. I don't think it has anything to do with crazy faith. It has everything to do with a crazy, stupid action that this pastor wanted to do. And now we wonder why people are turned off by the church. Fortunately, Paul stayed steady, even when others didn't understand. Look at verse 13. Then Paul answered, "What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Wow. Paul saw his possible suffering as a privilege, not a problem. Paul's determination reminds us of Luke chapter 9 and verse 51, where we read about Jesus. He set his face to go to Jerusalem. Did Jesus know what was waiting for him in Jerusalem? Yes, he did. Was he determined to go anyway? Yes, he was. And Paul is committed to live out God's purpose and plan no matter what it cost him. You know, it's almost as if Paul had given God a signed blank check, giving God full permission to do whatever he wanted to do with Paul's life. That's quite a thought, isn't it? Have you endorsed God's purpose and plan for you? And are you committed to serve him consistently? And after hearing Paul's dedication to follow God's will, no matter how hard it was for them to be able to understand, verse 14 tells us how these believers responded. Look at verse 14. "And since he would not be persuaded, we ceased and said, 'Let the will of the Lord be done.'" These people said, "Okay, Paul, we've tried to tell you. Paul, we've tried to warn you. But you know what? We're going to let you do what you believe God would have you do in your life." And notice that Luke was part of that group that was trying to tell Paul not to go to Jerusalem, because Luke is the one that's writing, and he's part of the missionary team with Paul. And Luke says, "We stopped. We just stopped begging him and persuading him about this." We could say it like this. In Paul's mind, it was God's will be done. Have you ever said that? God's will be done. In order to say that, you have to do this thing called surrender. We didn't sing that song this morning about surrender, but that's okay. We sang, "But God." Okay, I love that one as much as surrender. But you know what? We need to come to the place to where we surrender our wants. We surrender our desires. We surrender our plans. We surrender those things that we know have come into our life that distract us from growing towards spiritual maturity into our lives. God's will be done. This is a good reminder for all of us. And ultimately, what we should want is for God's will to be done. And this is true, no matter what our status in life may be. You know, whenever I give counsel or advice, I want God's will to be done. I don't always tell people what it is they want to hear. In fact, most of the time I tell them what they don't want to hear, because I tell them what God's word says. And when by the time they get to the point of seeking me out for counsel or advice, they've already devised a plan that doesn't go according to what God has instructed in his word for us to be able to do. But I want to leave the situation in God's hands, trusting him to do his will in his way and in his timing, according to his plan and purposes, for his glory. Not for the glory of the person, not for the glory of the pastor, but for the glory of God. Here's the final insight about pressing on. Reflect on what God has done and give him the glory. I'm going to pick it up in verse 15, and I'm going to read down through verse 26. After these days, we got ready, and we went up to Jerusalem. And some of the disciples from Caesarea went with us, bringing us to the house of Mnason of Cyprus, an early disciple with whom we should lodge. When we had come to Jerusalem, the brothers and sisters received us gladly. On the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. After greeting them, he related one by one the things that God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified God. And they said to him, "You see, brother, how many thousands there are among the Jews of those who have believed. They are all zealous for the law, and they have been told about you, that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or walk according to our customs. What then is to be done? They will certainly hear that you have come. Do therefore what we tell you. We have four men who are under a vow. Take these men and purify yourself along with them and pay their expenses, so that they may shave their heads. Thus all will know there is nothing in what they have been told about you, but that you yourself also live in observance of the law. But as for the Gentiles who have believed, we have sent a letter with our judgment that they should abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols and from blood and from what has been strangled and from sexual immorality." Then Paul took the men, and the next day he purified himself along with them and went into the temple, giving notice when the days of purification would be fulfilled and the offering presented for each and every one of them. When Paul finally arrives in Jerusalem, he and his team stayed with a fellow believer, showing again how Paul went out of his way to cultivate a friendship. Did you notice what it says? After these days, we got ready and went up to Jerusalem, verse 15. And some of the disciples from Caesarea went with us, bringing us to the house of Mnason of Cyprus, an early disciple with whom we should lodge. Now, these believers are called disciples, which shows they are followers and learners of Jesus, not of Paul, but of Jesus. And we've developed a working definition of a disciple as we've been studying the book of Acts, and it goes like this: someone who lovingly follows Jesus and helps others follow him. Did you notice that Mnason is called an early disciple? Now, it's interesting. I looked this up in the King James Version, and the King James Version refers to Mnason as an old disciple. I think I would rather be referred to as an early disciple than an ancient one. But this senior saint opened his home to a bunch of overnight guests who probably hadn't called ahead to make reservations. Now, as I reflected on this, I decided that I don't want to grow colder as I grow older. I don't want to suffer from hardening of the categories, but instead I want to be filled with joy, celebrating what God is doing and what God is doing in the younger generation who are willing to live for him and be willing to give up my preferences for the sake of God's mission. I don't want to be like Solomon in his old age, when it was said of him in 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 4 that his heart was not wholly devoted. I want to stay strong and courageous for God and not bail on my biblical convictions as I get older. And I want to encourage you to do that as well. And when the missionary team arrived in Jerusalem, verse 17 says, the brothers and sisters received us gladly. After all this time, they were thrilled to reconnect with the missionaries. And we would do well to be excited whenever we reconnect with fellow believers. And guess what? We have the opportunity to do that every Sunday morning as we gather together. We have the opportunity to do that at a lot of the activities that we have here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. You know, one of my favorite things to do each Sunday is to watch how we greet those in our church family. There are some handshakes, but there's a whole lot more hugs that go on. Look at verses 18 and 19. On the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. After greeting them, he related one by one the things that God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. James, the half-brother of Jesus, is the pastor of the Jerusalem church. And the elders were the spiritual leaders. And Paul was relating one by one the things that God had done. Paul clearly narrated for them all that God had done. Now, to mention all that God had done one by one indicates that Paul took the time to celebrate every instance of God's work. That had to be a long service, huh? Because we've seen God do a lot of work in Paul's missionary journeys. Now, Paul is not boasting about what he had done, but did you notice? He was boasting about the things God had done. It was a regular practice here in the book of Acts for God's people to rehearse and recount all that God had done for them. Remember Acts chapter 14, verse 27? It says, "And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them." Acts chapter 15 and verse 4, "When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all that God had done with them." Acts chapter 15 and verse 12, "And all the assembly fell silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles." And Paul makes sure to include two main things that God had done: how God had moved Gentile believers hundreds of miles away to take up a large offering for the Jewish believers who were going through a time of famine. How God moved in incredible ways in response to the message of Jesus as Savior, so that many people believed and began to serve God. In a couple weeks, we're going to have some people who are part of our church who have been on a short-term missionary trip to Uganda. And you can almost guarantee that we're going to give them the opportunity to stand before us as a church family and rehearse for us, narrate for us, recount for us all that God has done, as God has used them these weeks in Uganda. That's the way it's supposed to be. Why? Because it was modeled for us in the early church for us to be able to do that. Drop down to Acts chapter 21 and verse 20. "And when they heard it, they glorified Paul." Is that what it says? No. "And when they heard it, they glorified the church." Is that what it says? No. "And when they heard it, they glorified the community." Is that what it says? No. "When they heard it, they glorified" who? God. We tell because we want the glory to go to God, not to us. So let's make it a regular practice to celebrate what God has done in the past, what he's doing right now, and what he will do in the future, so that all the glory goes to him. Now, I want to leave you with this. Recognize where God is working and get involved in that endeavor and press on for God. Father, help us to be a people who press on for you. Father, you've given every single one of us a mission. You've given every single one of us a precious message. And that message of the fact that Jesus loved us so much that he went to the cross for us. And that when we believe in him as Savior, he gives to us the gift of eternal life. Father, what a mission. What a message. But Father, sometimes life gets hard. Sometimes even ministry gets hard. Sometimes living a life that of growing towards spiritual maturity gets difficult. But Father, I pray that even as it may be difficult, help us to press on. To press on for you so that you receive the glory and the honor and the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you all stand for this last song, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus"?
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, pray. Jesus, Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge in beneath the healing cleansing blood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.